Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 8. In verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, and this centurion had come to Jesus for the healing of his servant. His servant, albeit he was a servant, was more like a family member, and he was a well-loved, deeply appreciated person in the centurion's household. And he became extremely ill, very seriously ill. And he came to Jesus. Now, he was a Roman soldier. He wasn't a Jew, but he was a Roman soldier. But he came to Jesus anyway, even though he wasn't a Jew. And he said to Jesus that he wanted him to heal his servant. Now, Jesus had said to him, okay, I'm going to go to your house and I'm going to heal him. And the centurion said to him, no, you don't have to. I understand authority. If you say the word, I know that it'll be done. And Jesus said to the centurion in verse 13, go your way. As you have believed, so it will be done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. In that hour, at that moment, the servant was healed when Jesus said that. Now, Jesus said to him, go your way. This is something that he tells us at various times. Go your way. That's not saying go away. He's not saying that in the least. Go your way, that phrase is the Greek word hupoago, and means to come under God's leading and authority. So he's saying, live under the leading and authority of God. You see how you have to look at the original language? You can't just look at the translated language. Because original meanings from 2,000 years ago have different meanings than we translate them into nowadays, sometimes. Go your way. Come under God's leading and God's authority. Go your way. Now, the centurion understood authority. And so it was very easy for him to receive this. He was essentially saying to the centurion, you have authority as a centurion. You're in charge of 100 soldiers. You're under authority also as a soldier. But come under the authority of God in the leading of God. God will lead you. Make no mistake about it. God will lead you. Sometimes you'll know about it. Sometimes you won't. People will occasionally make a mistake when they try to be led by God. If you're trying to be led by God, you'll get subjective. In other words, you'll be led by other things. Because when a person tries, their focus is taken off of God and onto themselves with the question, am I being led now? Am I being led now? Am I being led now? That's kind of like going up to somebody and saying to them, are you talking to me now? Are you talking to me now? That seems silly because it is silly. If somebody's talking to you, you hear them. You don't have to ask them if they're talking to you, unless you hear them and you're not sure who they're talking to. Okay, fine. But if somebody is talking to you, you know that they're talking. Likewise with God. If God is talking to you, if God is leading you, God will lead you. You don't have to try to be led. It's something that God does. It's not something that you have to try to do. It's something that God does. Leading sometimes comes simply as God ordering your steps, God arranging your circumstances. Sometimes leading comes in ways that you would never expect. You simply go with it, not even thinking a second thought about it, and then you realize, wow, that was God leading. This is done by the authority of God. Now, I enter into leading by being in the authority of God. Leading is about authority. Go your way is about God's authority in my life. And because God has authority in my life, I can be led by Him. Go your way. And when the centurion came under the authority of God, the result was that he believed God. This is what Jesus was acknowledging. Because he believed God, he also got the answer to his prayer, to his request from Jesus. Your servant is healed because you believed. Continue to believe, living under the authority of God. And the implication in this case is, and God will continue to help you. Now, in Matthew 21:22, whatever you ask of God in prayer, believing, you will receive it. Some people have trouble with that because then they point to all those times when they didn't, in their opinion, receive answers to prayer. No, if you ask God, you will receive. Sometimes He may ask you to wait because you don't have the ability to receive it yet. You don't have capacity. It's like trying to get a gallon of water in a glass. The glass isn't big enough, so God has to expand your capacity before He can give you the answer. In some cases, other cases, God will give it to you pretty much instantly. Whatever you ask, you'll receive. Because of this, you can go your way. When you are under the authority of God, you will receive what you've asked. Part of being under the authority of God is the fact that you did ask. In Matthew 7:7, the Word of God says that he that asks will receive. Well, there's this school of thought that if you don't receive, it's because you didn't have enough faith. That is so ridiculous. If you have the faith to ask, you have the faith to receive. So go ahead and ask. But in order to have the faith to receive, you have to get the Word of God first in Romans 10:17. When you come under the Word of God, you come under its authority. So there is the authority aspect. The believing, the faith part of it, is actually the authority of God in your life, because in order to have faith, in order to believe, you have to receive the Word of God and come under its authority. And then you have faith. So he is telling them, come under the authority of God, you have faith, you receive. You could paraphrase it by saying, because you are under the authority of God, because you receive the Word of God, your servant is healed. You receive the answer to your prayer. Now, in Matthew 6:25, as a result of this, we take no thought for our life. In other words, we don't worry about our lives. We don't worry about the details of our life. We don't get anxious about what the future holds. We don't get anxious about outcomes. Because we're under the authority of God, we will be led by God. Now, that doesn't mean you'll necessarily hear a voice. That doesn't mean necessarily that you'll realize even that you're being led. But God does order our steps. And because God orders our steps, we don't have to worry. We can simply trust God and live in faith responses toward Him, just like the centurion did. In Daniel 12:8, Daniel said to God, God showed him something, God spoke to him, and he revealed something to him, and Daniel said, I heard, but I understood not. And then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? So Daniel got something from God, but he didn't understand what God was revealing to him. And he didn't understand the significance or the meaning or the outcome. And God said to Daniel in verse 9, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. In other words, go your way, Daniel. The way that I said it is the way it will be, whether you understand it or not, whether you can figure it out or not. Go your way. In other words, Daniel, come under the authority of God. Trust Him so that you can be led by Him. Don't worry if you understand what I'm doing. What I'm doing will come to pass according to my plan. Well, we are the same way. We don't worry if we understand the plan of God. It's God who makes it come to pass. We simply trust Him, whether we understand it or not. There will be times in your life, if you haven't been there already, I will guarantee you, you will be. You don't really understand what God is doing in your life. That's okay. You don't have to. So long as you trust God, you go under His authority by receiving the Word of God, which builds your faith. Faith is the authority in your life as you respond to it. You respond to the Word, you respond to the things you learn, you apply them. That's faith response. And then God leads you whether you realize it or not. Remember, it's Him that's doing the leading. Sometimes we think, well, we're doing the following, so we have to understand. No, it's Him that does the leading. And that's pretty much where it ends. It's Him that does the leading. Remember, you're going about your life, whether you want to or not, you are going about your life. That's just the way life works. God can arrange things in your life to get you exactly where He wants you. That's ordering your steps. In 2 Kings 4:29, the widow came to Elijah because her son died, and he was all she had. Elisha said to his servant Gehazi, "Take my staff in your hand, and go your way. If you meet any man, salute him not. If anyone salute you, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child." Now, Gehazi was under the authority of the man of God. In this case, Gehazi, who was Elisha's servant, he did not hear this directly from God himself. He heard this from Elisha, the prophet. But Elisha spoke the will of God to Gehazi, and Gehazi went with it. He understood in this instance what exactly he was to do and where the definition was coming from. So Gehazi was told, you have a purpose, there's a will from God, go with it. So Gehazi went, and he did exactly as Elijah told him. He did not answer anyone when they addressed him, when they spoke to him. Why? Elisha was saying to him, Gehazi, you have a purpose, you have a mission, if you will, you have a call on your life, you have something specific that God wants of you. Don't let anything distract you from it. Go your way and don't be distracted. Sometimes we get into a situation where obedience to Christ, obedience to the Word of God, may seem like we're perhaps being rude to somebody. We may say to ourselves, well, they won't understand why I'm doing this. That's okay. Gehazi was told, if they say hi to you, don't answer them. That's kind of rude, isn't it, Elisha? No, it's not. It's keeping your focus for what God has in front of you in this particular case, and this can also be the case in our lives. Now, I'm not saying that we're unfriendly people. I'm not saying that we're rude. I'm not saying that if somebody greets us, we don't say hello. I'm saying that we don't get distracted by anything from our call. We don't get distracted from anything regarding the will of God. There are times when people may want you to enter into what is actually sin. And they're not meaning it as sin. They're not meaning it in a bad way, but they don't know any better. And they may ask you to do things that God says not to do. Somebody who is unsaved, you might perhaps find yourself at a social event with them, and they want you to drink some alcohol. They offer you some because they think they're being friendly, and in their own mind, they're trying to be. Nobody's saying they're not. They are trying to be. But you already know that God said not to do that. So you don't do that. It's happened to me many times, and I usually just say to them, well, thank you, but I don't drink. You see, even though they're trying to be friendly, I don't get distracted from what I know is right with God just to accommodate them being friendly. You always stay with your call. You always stay with what is right with God. You always stay with the will of God. You always stay with applying the Word of God. You never compromise that, even if somebody misunderstands what you're doing. Sometimes people might misunderstand what you're doing. Okay, unfortunate, but better than to not yield to God, not obey God. I've always said, and I've said this more as a pastor about the things that come from the pulpit once in a while, I'm much more concerned about what God thinks of my message than what anybody else thinks of my message. And those are often messages that I knew that certain individuals would not like. But I was more concerned what God thought of the message than what anybody else thought of the message. And I had to be confident in that, and I was. Likewise, you don't worry about people's responses. You stay with what's right with God. That's what Elisha is basically saying to Gehazi here in a specific instance with a specific application. In Acts 9, Paul got saved. He used to be called Saul. God renamed him Paul. He got saved on his road to Damascus. He was a wicked persecutor of Christians. Christians were terrified of him. He would throw them in jail. He would kill them. He would do terrible things to them. And he would hunt them. When he got saved, God told Paul to go to the house of a man named Ananias, and God told Ananias that Paul was coming. Ananias was not really thrilled about that, because Paul had a reputation. Ananias was a little bit afraid. Everybody was afraid of him. Ananias said to God, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Coming under the calling and the leading and the authority of God can sometimes produce in a natural way, when we look at things naturally, a pretty good amount of fear. Some people are called on the mission field to places they anticipate are difficult, and they're afraid. Some people are afraid to do different things within the will of God, and they don't think they can do it. God says here, don't worry about what scares you. Don't worry about people if they scare you. Don't worry about circumstances if they're scaring you. Don't worry about anything that scares you, because God is using them. And in the end, they will not be able to harm you. When you're under the leading and the authority of God, you have incredible protection from God. Don't ever be afraid to respond to God. God is using even negative circumstances for your benefit in Romans 8:28. And so you never have to be afraid when you're under the authority of God. Because even things that seem bad end up well with God. Never be afraid. God will use the situation. God will use the negative person. God will use the negative circumstance. Don't be afraid of them. It's God who's behind it. Sometimes we don't see, let's say, people who we are afraid of as someone that God is behind. But He is. That's why He allowed them to come into your life. Because He wants to do something. Now, in some cases, He wants them to do something for you. In other words, maybe develop a part of you that you might not otherwise get developed. Or, as in the case of Ananias, God wants you to do something for them. Sometimes the scary people, God brings them into your life so that they can get to know God through you. Because without you, maybe they would go to hell. Maybe they'd never get saved without your input. So never be afraid of that which seems scary to you. God's the one who's behind it with purpose. It won't hurt you. In Matthew 20:14, there were these laborers, people who were working for a man, and Jesus was giving this as a parable, who worked for him throughout the day. There were some that came early, and he arranged with them, the foreman did, for a certain salary. And then there's some who came in toward the middle of the day, and he gave them the same salary. And then there's others who came at the very end of the day with only an hour left, and he gave them the same salary. And when they saw how much everybody was being paid, that it was the same, the ones who came early protested because the ones who came late got the same amount. And they said to him, you know, this isn't fair, essentially. And he said, take what is yours and go your way. I will give unto this last, even as unto you. This can happen to us. We can get occupied with what God is doing in the lives of other people. He's saying, you stay under the authority of God. You stay under the leading of God. Don't worry about what God is doing with other people. Sometimes we worry about people, oh, they're going to make a mistake if they try this. It's going to go badly. I'm so afraid for them. No, go your way. You stay under the authority of God in your life. You stay under the leading of God in your life and trust God for their life. In John 21:22, Peter asked Jesus about John, and Jesus said to Peter, what is that to you? You follow me. You see, this is how it works with our lives and our relationships and the people around us. We trust God. We have the authority of God through the Word of God leading us in our lives, and so do they. We don't try to worry about, judge, question, even be concerned about other believers and their walk with God. It doesn't have to be the same as ours. Sometimes it happens, and I know a situation where this did happen, actually a couple of situations. A pastor dies, and the people who are remaining expect everyone in the church to then go with the new pastor. And that's fine if they do. I'm not against that in any way. But sometimes not everyone is called to the other pastor. Remember, there's three types of call: geographic location, local assembly, and to a specific pastor. It could be that I was called to the one pastor, but not to the next one. If anything like that happens, where you don't necessarily see their call as being what it was, as being the same as yours, as perhaps a continuation of what they were doing before, whatever it is, don't worry about it. Trust grace. Trust God for their life. Don't worry about it. God is the authority in their life. God is the authority of your life. God is taking care of your life. God is leading you. He's ordering your steps. And He's taking care of their life. And He's leading them. And He's taking care of their steps. You go your way. And they go theirs. Sometimes they'll be the same. Sometimes they'll be different. It all depends on the will of God. In Matthew 5:24, when somebody is causing division in the body of Christ, and they start, let's say, attacking you, then it says here, go your way and be reconciled to your brother, and then, and only then, come and offer your gift. Before you put it on the altar, be reconciled to the believer. This is specifically talking about someone who has been hostile toward another Christian going and being reconciled. What it's not talking about, and this is a part where sometimes people get confused, it's not talking about unbelievers. And it's not talking about people who persist in operating in the other kingdom. It's talking about people who can be reconciled. If somebody can be reconciled, and they've perhaps attacked you, he's saying to you, forgive them and reconcile them if they are willing to be reconciled. If they're not willing to be reconciled, well, then that's between them and God. You've done what you could. If they're going to persist in operating in the wrong kingdom, you've done what you could. You can't reconcile with the wrong kingdom. But if somebody can be reconciled, then reconcile. If somebody can be forgiven, forgive them. If somebody can repent, help them repent. That's part of going your way. That's part of being under the authority of God. In Mark 10:21, sometimes people don't come under the authority of God because of practical considerations. Maybe they are rich and they have to take care of their riches, like over here. There was a guy who came to Jesus and he said, I follow all the laws. I do everything I'm supposed to do. What else do I need? And Jesus, because he loved him, he looked at him and he said, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor. And you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Now, I'm not saying that if somebody has a lot of money, they have to give it away. What I am saying is, don't let what you have become an obstacle to being under the authority of God with no reservations. If something like wealth is what keeps you from following God, then get rid of the wealth. If a circumstance keeps you from following God, get rid of the circumstance. Whatever it is that keeps you from the will of God, get rid of it. Because otherwise you won't come under the authority of God. We always operate in faith. That's the authority of God in our lives. We always operate in faith. In Luke 17:9, Jesus said, go your way, your faith has made you whole. Go your way, your faith has made you whole. Your faith completes you. Your faith is the fullness of the authority of God in your life. In Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, that's contrary to faith. But trust in the Lord with all your frame of reference, with all your considerations, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You respond to God in faith, and the authority of God is completed in your life. When you respond to God in faith, God develops you into a mature believer, into a very powerful believer. But the authority itself comes through faith, and the faith comes through the Word of God. That's where the authority comes from. Yield to the Word of God. Trust Him. Operate in faith, and you will find the fullness of God in your life. That's what it means to go your way. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me, so I can have eternal life with You. Amen."